Hey, we're back. We're going to shift gears now, bring on a special guest who is joining us from the John Locke Foundation and the Future of Freedom Foundation. Our friend Fergus Hodgson is with us here on the hotline. And Fergus, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's a privilege to be with you.
Oh, well, listen, I always look forward to our visits. And I want to get the sort of a different take. We visited with Bob Dane of FAIR. And I know that you're going to have a different view of this, so I wanted to get your thoughts on some really important issues that have come up involving immigration. One, of course, the president's proclamation on June 15th, declaring what some have called de facto amnesty for up to 1.4 million illegals under the age of 30. And then, of course, the Supreme Court decision regarding SB 1070 in Arizona, and the subsequent decisions by the Department of Homeland Security on how that is going to be enforced. First, if we could talk about the president's decision, Fergus, you think that is going to be a positive move? Do you support that? I know you believe our current policies aren't fair.
No, in fact, I think it's going to be counterproductive. See, Jeff, my goal or emphasis is pushing for more open or streamlined immigration, and this has Obama has done absolutely nothing to help the legal process. It's just a straight amnesty for some people who are here illegally, and only a minority of those who are here illegally. So it does almost nothing, and I fear that it's actually making the situation worse. That it's building more hostility to immigrants by promoting illegal immigration as opposed to legal immigration, and so I think it's counterproductive. I am sympathetic to many people who are here illegally, mm-hmm. but I'm just concerned that this is not the right way to go about handling this, and all efforts should be towards reforming the legal process, because that is the big problem.
Obviously, I would think the president's doing this for political reasons. Would you agree?
Yes, and this I mentioned this last time I called in, that you might not be aware of this, but Obama has actually deported far more people than George Bush ever did.
Yes.
At twice the rate that George Bush did during his first term, and 30% more than during Bush's second term. So actually, Hispanics aren't necessarily that pleased with Obama's record on this. But the key is that he is at least making an effort to, well, at least appearing to be making an effort to appease Hispanics or work for their interests. And unfortunately, they're eating that up. I mean, like I said, I write for a Spanish paper.
Yes.
I mix with Hispanics all the time. And he is like the Democratic Party is effectively cordoning off
Latino vote. Yeah.
To their side. And
I agree.
That's a big problem. And because Mitt Romney has not done anything really to really create a clear response, he's allowing this to happen. He's kind of been caught flat-footed.
He gave a non-response. it was sort of pathetic.
Yeah, he gave a speech without any policy details about how, you know, we should welcome more legal immigrants, but it was just a speech and no actual plan, and that didn't really appease anybody. I think that the problem is that, as you know, and as I've bumped into by speaking about immigration so much, that it's just such a hot or it's one of those issues like women's rights or whatever that people don't want to touch because they fear a backlash. And I think Romney is afraid of that, that on the one hand, his base, perhaps like many of your callers, really want, you know, tougher enforcement, and if he says anything to appease illegal immigrants or even to open up immigration, he'll go against them. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to lose Hispanics, so he's caught in a difficult situation. But I think there is a better way to respond to it than he has done.
The president, of course, was complaining that Congress didn't pass a DREAM Act. Has he gone ahead and sort of implemented by this decision some parts of the DREAM Act sort of on his own?
Yes, I mean, it's exactly that. I mean, not exactly, but he's implemented the non-deportation component of it. And it's funny, these people who are getting these two-year work visas actually have more freedom than I have in the United States, which is ironic. But so he has implemented it to a large degree, and as you know, I'm just like you, Jeff. I'm very fearful of the executive branch just kind of
yes.
ruling like a monarchy, mm-hmm. and so that's another reason why I'm very concerned about this. And because he's done it in a very unilateral way, that is what is creating a lot of the hostility. And that I think it's getting in the way of us actually having a meaningful discussion about how to reform the legal process, because there are just a few points that I think people should be aware of as to how broken the legal process is. Right now, there is a project which is near completion to build a permanent cruise ship off the coast of California for businessmen who want to, for entrepreneurs who want to come to the United States and work and be part of Silicon Valley but don't have work permits to do so. They're going to have an enormous cruise ship of hundreds of people living off the coast because they don't have visas. How ridiculous is that? All these young entrepreneurs who should be, you know, we should be paying for them to come here, not paying, I mean, we should be welcoming them with open arms. They can't get here legally, so they're going to be living on the sea.
Why don't we make it easier for people that have skills, that have really talents that we need to become citizens of the United States? Is that as hard as it's ever been, or is it becoming easier? What is the process for?
It's getting harder over time. It's just a natural process of legislation. You have special interests that get built into the process, immigration lawyers, all the agencies that are involved. I mean, every point in the process, you're paying somebody, and they benefit from it. And because we as immigrants are not voting, or people from outside the country are not voting, there's really no base to appeal to in terms of the legal process. People who are already here, I mean, that's a different question, but there's just basically there are vested interests in making the process more complicated, and because most people don't deal with it, they don't realize, I mean, and it's very difficult for me to deal with. I get a little bit frustrated, too, because as people may know, I am an immigrant, and
yes,
I'm getting married to a foreigner. I'm seeking to bring her with me to the United States.
Yes.
And just getting, when I call up the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Ecuador, the people don't know. They don't know. They can't answer the questions. They don't even know the law, and they won't even answer any questions until we pay $160 and meet with them in person. And you know, obviously, I'm not in Ecuador, and my wife, her first language is not English, so it's just an extremely difficult process, and even the people who are supposed to be enforcing or helping one through the process, they don't know, and actually they don't really care. They have no real interest in serving you, because what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to some other retailer? No, there's only one place you can go to, and they have no real interest in serving you. It's like the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Right. By the way, when is the wedding going to be, Fergus?
October 27th, mate. I'm
all right.
Got the keto for that. I'm really excited about it.
All right. 504-556-9696 is our talk line. And a lot of issues we're going to get to with Fergus, who's joining us. He is the Director of Fiscal Policy Studies at the John Locke Foundation, which is based in North Carolina. Used to work with the Pelican Institute right here in New Orleans. Let's see what Jim Uptown has to say. Hey, Jim, good morning, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing, bud?
All right. You can hear me?
Yes, sir. Speak up a little bit if you could.
Yeah. I hear the speakerphone, and I apologize.
Okay.
And Jeff, you know, my problem is that as we open the floodgates, do we get these people to have to recognize the investment that we've made over the years is real citizens of the United States? And, you know, you get countries like Costa Rica. You and I cannot go move to Costa Rica as easily as you think we might. Or even a country like Mexico. Remember back in the old days, you make a fortune and go run off to Mexico and stay with it?
Right.
You know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid?
Right.
Those days were non-existent. And I just do not get this president thinking that he can give away everything. He can make everybody else that's paying pay for the non-payers. This is absolutely obscene. And I do believe in recruiting people that have skills.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
We need them. We need them desperately.
Yeah, but put them on work visas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to keep them. We don't need to keep their children.
All right. Well, let me get Fergus's take on that. Thanks, Jim, for your call. Appreciate it.
Right. Well, thanks for the call, Jim. There are many things to say about that. One, you're right that most countries in the world are relatively closed to immigration. I think that's an across-the-board problem, that they are short-sighted. and more countries are becoming are wising up to this reality that you want to import adult people. Because if you think about it, if I arrive as an adult in the United States, you don't have to pay for any of my education. I'm an immediate taxpayer. I'm an immediate win for the country. In terms of getting skilled professionals, the problem is that this sort of central planning of immigration is very difficult to implement, because how do you know that someone is going to be a very good businessman? You don't know that. And so you end up on these kind of fallbacks where all you do is take licensed professionals, which many of us don't even think are legitimate. And so it's just a very difficult process. And I want to say, too, that I don't know that we need more licensed professionals. We need more business starters. And the fact is that immigrants are twice as likely to start a business. Last year, immigrants started 28% of all businesses in the United States. That's twice. They make up 13% of the population and started 28% of the businesses. So I just think it's a big win to bring people in. And I'm not going to say we have to, you know, check their credentials. If people are a public danger or are committing crimes, sure, deport them or don't let them in. But people who have committed no crime, I don't see any reason for stopping them from coming to the country. And actually, just another point,
yeah,
that yes, other countries are like relatively close to immigration, but even so, Canada accepts immigrants at 35% higher rate than the United States, and Australia at an even higher percent, almost double the rate of the United States.
So there are some places, if we get frustrated with Obama and he wins a second term, there are some places we could go? Is that what you're saying, Fergus?
Yes, I mean, well, that's actually the theme of my radio show, that there are lots of places you can go. Singapore, Chile, Switzerland, Australia. I mean, most of those countries, if not all of them, have some form of socialized medicine, but they're freer in other regards. I mean, Canada, for example, doesn't even have a Department of Education. I mean, that's how, like, you know, pro-freedom Canadians are. They don't have a federal Department of Education. And so there are lots of other countries that are rising up, both in terms of prosperity and in terms of openness to business. And unfortunately, I just think that the end of the U.S. reign is kind of here in that regard. It's already happened.
Yes.
But over the last 10 years, net immigration to the United States has gone down considerably.
Now, I'm hearing that the percentage of immigrants coming from Asia is now overtaken Hispanic immigrants. Is that true?
I've heard that, too. I don't know how to verify that or how people define what Hispanic is versus Asian, because there are different, you know, countries within those categories. But I believe it. I have read that the net migration rate with Mexico has now gone to zero, which means there are just as many people going back to Mexico as coming. So if that is the case, then it's perfectly believable that there are more people from Asian countries coming than from Latin American countries.
Let's take some more calls for Fergus. 504-556-9696 is our talk line. Let's go to James in Metairie. Hey, James. Good morning, sir.
Hey. Well, hello, Jeff. Good morning. Just as a bit of public service here, the price of a barrel of oil, West Texas Intermediate's up over $4.50 a barrel this morning. It strongly suggests if you need gas, get it today before the price goes up tomorrow.
Hmm.
Apparently, Fergus is associated with the John Locke Foundation. John Locke was known as the father of liberalism. Right, right, Fergus?
Actually, classical liberalism. And yes, that was before things like welfare states existed. So yes, we are in the tradition of classical liberalism.
Right.
Yes. Not contemporary socialism or collectivism as you want to espouse.
Well, he influenced all those great Enlightenment thinkers. Fergus, I think what you're talking about is high-end immigration. We do a rotten job there. I was watching, I think, a segment on CNN, one of the news channels, where a gentleman came over from India, educated here at one of our finest universities in probably Caltech or Berkeley or one of those places, wanted to start a business here, but because of our goofy, anti-high-end, high-tech, highly educated immigration policies, the obstacles are too great, the barriers too insurmountable. He then founded his business over in India, where it's hired hundreds, perhaps thousands of people, and they're getting revenue from this country. We need to do something about that. And thanks, Jeff.
All right, James. Fergus?
James, you know, that final point I have to agree with. And this is why I engage with this debate, even though I have to say, Jeff, that this particular issue is the one, like, I research a lot of things, is the one I receive the most criticism for. So it's often, like, really aggressive personal attacks I take. But I'm trying to address this concern that immigrants are somehow a problem. Once we address that issue, once people come to a common agreement that actually immigrants are a wonderful benefit, then we can address the immigration process. Because as long as we have fear of them, there'll continue to be this justification for a complicated antiquated process. And I can attest what James says, because I went to university in the United States at Boston, and the only way for me to take to stay in the country was to take a position of employment that happened to be defined within my college degree, and that only Wow. granted me 1 year of stay. So if I wanted to go out and start a business, there'd be just no way. It would be illegal for me to stand.
Fergus, we're going to do it again. Hang on, because I want to give your information to Rudy so we can put it on the podcast page. Quick timeout, more ringside. Coming your way, it's WGSO.